You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham, and for Cynthia Canty. Globally, climate change is going to cause some serious upheaval, but the change will be different in different places. There will be losers and there will be winners. As science refines its predictions about the impact of climate change, some things are being moved from one column to the other. For example, corn grown in the Midwest. Bruno Basso is a Michigan State University Foundation professor in the Earth and Environmental Sciences Department, and he joins us now. Hey, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you.
You study crop modeling and land use sustainability, and you recently released a study about climate change and corn. But before we get to that, tell me what the predictions have been up until now.
Well, the prediction of the impact of climate on agriculture, if we stay within the Midwest, have not necessarily been positive for one reason, that the majority of the studies looked at single variables, one at a time. So what is the effect of temperature increase on crop yield? If it gets hotter, how do plants respond? Plants production, basically the yield of the corn, will go lower. Then the next sorts of question was, yes, but we also know that CO2 is increasing in the atmosphere. And from photosynthesis, you know, just about any high school kind of knowledge will know that plants benefit from having CO2 in the atmosphere. So then the projection says, well, CO2, it is good for plants. Then in addition, there is the erratic precipitation rainfalls. If you adapt, Michigan is a cold environment. So because temperature is indeed increasing and then the season is longer. And okay, so the study concluded that the yield could be greater.
So you're saying there could be a benefit. I know there was a lot of talk about if it gets warmer here, there's going to be more evaporation and therefore more water will be needed, but we're not necessarily going to get more water. How did you determine whether any of that was correct or would work or factored into your model?
So the study particularly looked at how much more water is going to be needed to grow a crop in Michigan. If we assume that there is a sufficient amount of water, the amount that corn needs it, because one fact that we found, which was not necessarily reported before, the minimum temperature is the one that is increasing the most. And because minimum temperature increases, there will be more humidity in the air. So in the end, the amount of water required by a crop may be smaller. And that was kind of, you know, the discovery.
So we'll have warmer temperatures but more humidity, which means less evaporation.
That is correct.
Okay. Yeah. So climate change is really complex and these predictions change as we better understand the intricacies. The scientific process changes predictions as new data becomes available, right?
Indeed.
But there's still a fair amount of climate change denial out there. How do you think the public perceives these shifting predictions like yours is?
Unfortunately, climate change has kind of been associated with some political kind of lookout. And so there are the deniers that deny the fact that the climate is changing because of human. But if we use the example of the farmers, the majority of them may not necessarily be supportive of this idea that climate change is real, but they are the biggest and most interested in understanding climate variability, which they see on their fields on a, you know, season by season.
So they see climate change, but they're skeptical about whether humans are contributing to climate change.
Correct. They're very well aware that climate is indeed changing on their farm. There are more, you know, intense rainfall that has been shown with a lot of measurements that now the rainfall events come with a much greater intensity.
Right, these little microbursts.
Exactly. Some sorts of tropicalization of the rain, you get these big storms. Then the extended days with drought, they have been, you know, kind of longer. But in reality, they see that and they actually, we work closely with them. So the climate change kind of concept may not marry well with them, but climate variability, which is the biggest thing that climate change brings, it's this erratic, these extreme events changes, more frequent flooding and droughts, are a result of that change, which is caused by the increased greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. Now, whether we are the humans making it, obviously we are, because all the carbon that we put it in the car It was, you know, way deeper in the bowel of the earth and now is in the atmosphere. So there is one connection right there. But yeah, there are still deniers. But climate variability, everybody's aware that that's a reality.
One thing that I noted that I hadn't thought about, in Michigan, they have shorter season crops than they would in like southern Illinois or someplace like that. As the climate changes, you suggest for better yields, they might switch to longer season crops.
That is correct. Even if you stay within the corn, because it's getting warmer, the winter that you initially, you know, referred to are the ones, the cold environments where, you know, Midwest of the USA, Northern Canada, Siberia, they have a longer season because they can plant earlier, but they need to adapt. They need to be able to select hybrids or cultivars that are indeed a longer. So that's the benefit that we need to, you know, really consider in the Midwest, is the fact that the season is getting longer. But we should never forget all the other threats of climate change, increases, pests and diseases and other aspects, which science continue to make, you know, advancement in those fields.
So where we'll see this one benefit, we might see a lot more deficit because of insects chewing on the corn, or, you know, we've got a lot of different kinds of corn borers and
exactly.
Everything else right now.
But the good thing in general is that science, because of all the studies and investments in this futuristic look, where are we going to be in the next 10 years, 20 years, and so on. So there are large groups looking at, you know, pest changes. So the science, in fact, one point that is also reported in the article, despite the climate change that has occurred, basically we have seen changes in temperature over the last 40 years, where the minimum temperature has gone down by 1 degree, and the maximum temperature has gone up by 2 degrees. So what we have measured, it is totally real, but it comes from this minimum temperature, increase. And this type of, you know, studies that we continue to do have allowed the science to be able to increase yield constantly for the last 40 years by 2 bushels per acre. This is a measured national average. A bit personally, I'm an optimistic person, but you have to trust and believe in the science, because we are showing some of these results of this, you know, increases despite the immense negative effects that climate could bring.
So what research still needs to be done regarding climate change and crops like corn?
As I mentioned earlier, the complexity lays in the fact that there are interactions and feedbacks. So all the studies will need to account by how the pest, and, you know, if they chew on a corn, the slower growth of the plants, and how does that affect the carbon that is returned to the soil. The ultimate goal in all the studies that we do is how we build a resilient system that when these extreme events occur, then basically the damage is reduced. There is very little we can do if there is a major drought. That's a given fact. But the yield of a major drought, if you have a much deeper soil or better organic matter, you know, more microbes, will cope a lot better than a more bare or sterile soil. So I would say continue to study the interaction of the climate variables with management and improved genetics. But if I may add one more aspect, which is also one of the topics of my research, is that fields are not uniform. So there is a lot of variability within the field. And understanding the spatial and temporal variability is key to be able to be more sustainable in agriculture, because the technology is able to apply input at a very precise location to match the plant demand. And so if we reach that goal, basically be able to do the right thing at the right time in the right place by reducing losses and increase profitability, which is the goal of not just the farmers, everybody wants to see them strive, but at the same time, the community's interest in having a better environment, because it's the well-being that everybody shares.
Bruno Basso is a Michigan State University Foundation professor in the Earth and Environmental Sciences Department. He studies crop modeling and land use sustainability and was lead author of the study we've been talking about. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you for inviting me.